Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's very good to be here, and I thank God for being here. Usually I go by pastor, but it doesn't matter. I guess once a pastor, I've pastored four churches on three continents, so you kind of, I don't know if it's kind of like governor or something, I don't know. But it's very good to be here. We are very grateful for this opportunity, and our friends Mike and Cheryl, we met them when we were living in South Africa, and of course Cheryl is from there. And it was just good to keep in touch with them through the years. I want to ask Christy to come, and she's going to greet you. Bring that microphone, if you will. And she's going to greet you, and I believe she's going to tell you a little story. God bless you. Is this on? Press and hold. Where? There, we got it.
Praise the Lord. It's so good to be here, and we always love coming here. And I just wanted to tell you a quick little story. We just a few weeks ago got back from being in Kenya and Tanzania. Our daughter Dory is, and her husband Joe and their three kids are living now in Tanzania. And also, while we were there, we met two missionary girls that are Kenyan that were on their way to work at the same ministry where our daughter and her husband are working, which is Pamoja Ministries, and they do media in Swahili, like make feature films and films about men's health, women's health, films about Christian young people and what they face in East Africa, and music videos and all sorts of things. Well, these two young Kenyan girls, they're in their early 20s, and they are gone out as missionaries from Kenya, and they're totally supported by Kenyan churches, which is a brand new thing because a lot of Kenyan churches are very poor, and they've been the ones receiving missionaries always. But so this is really different where they're sending out these two young ladies as missionaries. Well, I got to talk to these girls, and one of them in particular, Angela. I said, Angela, tell me, how did you come to the Lord? And she said her parents were in the Salvation Army, and she kind of rejected that the Salvation Army, even though it's a really good group. And, of course, the Salvation Army does great work, and they're good Christian people. But she kind of rejected the Christianity of her parents, and she was going in a very wild direction for her life. And she said one night she had a dream where she saw the Salvation Army hymn book. And the hymn book pages just flipped open to a certain page number. And meanwhile, she was going to all these discos and everything, but they flipped open to a certain page number, and there was a song there. And the song said, the title of the song was, Take Time to Be Holy. And so she thought, wow, that's strange. I wonder if that song's really in the Salvation Army hymn book. I don't know. But it made her think. Well, then the very next night, she had the same dream. She saw the Salvation Army hymn book, and the pages flipped open to a certain number, and there was the title of the song was Take Time to Be Holy. And so she thought, you know what? This is God speaking to me. He wants me to accept him as my Lord and Savior, and to take time to be holy and not just to be thinking about worldly pleasures and youthful lust. And so she accepted the Lord as her Savior and began really serving the Lord, working with children, and now the Lord's opened it up for her to go to this mission, and she's being supported by local Kenyan churches. So I just wanted to give you a testimony. You know, we send missionaries here from the States, but we're not the only ones. Countries all over the world send missionaries, and now they're going out from East Africa.
Thank you. Will you hand me my water? Praise the Lord. Got it off. There's no shell. Praise the Lord. It's very good to be here. As I said, and we are thankful because of all the Lord is doing. He's doing a work all over the world. This church is a significant player in that you support missions, you support us, and you support also Pastor Mike as he goes into different places. We were actually with him last year in Botswana, and then we were supposed to, we used to live in Botswana, and then we were supposed to be with him in Zambia this year. He's moved it to next year. But God is blessing this church in a lot of ways because of the mission vision that you have for around the world. And so it's very important for you to recognize that. And if you're a newcomer visiting here today, God is with this church. Maybe you need to be with this church. Praise the Lord. I would, Christy and I realize how many of you have never been in a service when we have been here? Would you raise your hand? Okay, several of you. What we do is we are missionaries. We've been in mission work for over 30 years, around 30 years, and we have lived and worked in traditional mission work at a Zulu Bible College in South Africa, and then we lived in Africa about 10 years and lived in Europe about 10 years, and we're getting ready to move next month in about 3 weeks. We're moving to Ireland. And we are to be there for an indefinite period of time. Please pray for us. I'll tell you more about that at the end today. But as we are, we had Zulu Bible College in South Africa. Then God began dealing with us to work all over in different, all over Africa. And so we've worked in probably about half of the 51 nations of Africa. We lived in Botswana and have worked in a lot of these different countries. And then we lived in Europe, in Germany and in the UK for nearly 10 years. And it was very good. And God blessed us in so many different ways. What our ministry's name is, Shepherd Shapers. And we train leaders in a lot of different places. And so I just wanted to share that with you. And now what I'd like to do is minister for the next few minutes on living on the edge. I believe it's important to live on the edge. And I think that sometimes as you get older, you want to live less on the edge. And yet, it's a very enjoyable thing to live on the edge. Young people pride themselves. And often, even if they don't live on the edge, they think they live on the edge. And sometimes older people, as you remember back, you have lived on the edge. But it's an interesting thing, this whole idea. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And I think about hazarding your life for the gospel's sake, and there is an important thing about this. Christy and I, our mission statement is basically this. Life's journey is not to arrive at the grave safely and in a well-preserved body, but rather to skid in sideways, totally worn out, shouting, "Well, what a ride." Now, it's really enjoyable to read stories of people who have done amazing things, whether they are adventurers or travelers. I think of the story I read of Peter Jenkins and how he and National Geographic, it tells the story. We've talked with them and before, several years ago, they were living in Tennessee, but he was a university student. He left. He was in New York, and as he was thinking very critically, quite off the charts to the left about America, not very appreciative of it, a janitor in that university where he was attending told him, said, "Don't you dare criticize this country until you've walked it." He said, "What?" He said, "You need to get out, put your shoes on, and walk across America." Well, that's what he did. He left. He went up to Maine, he walked all the way to New Orleans, and then all the way to Oregon, and the first half he met all the nightlife people. He got saved in New Orleans at Charles Green's church, and he began to walk the rest of it meeting Christian folk all the way to Colorado, all the way to Oregon. It's an amazing story. But as he did, I think about how we like to read such stories of adventurers. We like to hear of people who've gone places, done things, lived exciting lives, and seen things. But it's often a challenge to us as to what would we do with that same, with the same energy or the same thoughts. You may not have the energy to do all those things, or you may not have the opportunity to do all those things. But often we find ourselves wondering, what's it like? What does it mean? Is it important to live on the edge? And I want to talk to you about that today. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 15. And there in verses 24 through 27, you'll find these words. This is New Living Translation. But you'll find it talking about this same thought. And I want you to listen very carefully, especially to verse 26. It says, we understand, in verse 24, we understand that some men, this is the church talking, this is James, the pastor of Jerusalem's church, talking. He said, we understand that some men have come to you, and they have troubled you and upset you with their teaching, but we did not send them. Now these are the Gentiles they're talking to in Antioch. And they're talking to these Gentiles who have become believers. And so they're saying to them, we understand that some men have come from here, from our church, and they have troubled you and upset you with their teachings, and we did not send them. So we have decided, having come to complete agreement, to send you official representatives along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are sending Judas and Silas with them to confirm what we have decided concerning your question. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you than these few requirements. You must abstain from eating food offered to idols, from consuming blood or the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. If you do this, you will do well. Farewell. As the church spoke to them, they were saying, these men who came to you unauthorized and unsent, we did not send them, told you you had to be circumcised and you had to do this and you had to do that, legalists to the bone, but we laid no such requirement on you. You just got to follow these simple things. God bless you. Be on your way. Serve the Lord. And as they began to speak these things, just to look at this verse 26, I believe it was, it says in New Living Translation, it said they've risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. King James Version says they have hazarded their lives for the gospel. And the Message says they have looked death in the face time and again for the sake of our Master Jesus Christ. Now, occasionally at missions conferences, we find that we are with a group of missionaries. Many of them have stories to tell that'll blow your mind. Things they've experienced. I want to tell you a few of those stories this morning. Things they've experienced that you don't know about. A lot of times, Christy and I have experiences, we never get them into a newsletter. They just kind of go into the archives of our memory, and we just never really get an opportunity to share those experiences. And so that's what I want to do today. We've been doing a thing across America whenever we're here, and it's called Tea with the Bishops. And what we do is we go and we just tell mission stories for an hour. I tell a story, Christy tells a story, I tell a story, Christy tells a story, back and forth. And as we do this, then we have tea and desserts, and we have a grand time of just a different kind of service. But this morning, what I want to do is share with you some of the good, bad, and the ugly. Some of the difficult times and the dangerous situations that often missionaries find themselves in. It's not that they go looking for trouble, but they just find it anyway. And so I want to tell you some of those things. Now, I think that missionaries find themselves often in harm's way, often in difficult situations, and they have stared danger in the face on many occasions, and they have risked their lives for Jesus. And I believe most missionaries, or most of us, would not go bear hunting with a switch. We would not charge hell with a water pistol. You wouldn't want to stand in front of the red flag with a bull coming. But the fact is, sometimes it happens anyway. Sometimes danger comes to you. You don't go to it. And as you find those situations, it's interesting looking back at them after you've experienced them to think about how that God wants you to realize that He will protect you, but when the jig is up, when God says it's finished, then you may go to meet the Lord. And so sometimes those things do happen. But God will protect you as long as he has need of you. Do you believe that? I believe he is with us and he will protect us, and God can help us and sustain us. Now, the credentials of these missionaries who went, sent by the church with Paul and Barnabas, and as they went, these four men, the credentials of these men was that they had risked their lives for the gospel's sake. Therefore, you should believe what they say to you. There are not many people who would really risk their lives for things they did not believe in. And I began to think about, have things changed since the days of the early church? And this scripture in Acts 15, have they changed very much? And I really think that it hasn't changed very much, because usually if someone's not willing to lay their life on the line for something serious, you don't necessarily feel serious about listening to them. Because if they don't say, if they talk, but no walk, it's not really a good thing. And it's important for us to look back at the scripture and to realize that these missionaries did risk their lives for the gospel's sake, and that's why they were sent to go to the church. I'd like to name a few things. One of the things that you face when you are in mission work is you go to places often that the State Department has warned you not to go to. They will make a statement. They will put out a declaration that you don't go to this place because this is happening, that is happening. We just got back from Kenya, who is at war with the Al-Shabaab out of Somalia. And they had quite a few conflicts, and I called David Soror. I don't know if he's been here to the church, but certainly is friends with Mike and Cheryl. But I called David, and I said, well, David, here we are again, another war going on. He said, yep, we're at war. And I said, any pointers on whether we should or should not come? He said, well, I'm here. Okay, and so then we waited out. We prayed a bit about it, charged forward, went there. It was fine. I mean, granted, we did take a six-hour trip that turned into nine because a bunch of kids put a bus crossways of the highway, and one of them got shot, and the military charged in, and we were sitting there on the side of the road for about three extra hours because of this thing. I mean, granted, what had happened is last year the school had raised $23,000 for buying a new bus, and I don't know, some teacher must have built a house out of it or something, but the kids never got it, and the bus never came. So they just pulled one across the highway and said, we want some money. And they wound up getting a good bit as they did a fundraiser right there in on the highway. But it was amazing because here these kids, it is a dilemma. Living in a nation, there is no representation. No one really cares, and people abuse and people steal, and there is graft, and there is all kinds of corruption. And so as you face things like that. We were in, a year and a half ago, we were in Honduras, which is listed as the most dangerous nation in the world right now. It's not Ukraine, and it's not even Israel. But it is a dangerous place in Honduras. And we were there and ministering with Dean and Melissa Lohman. They say one out of eight people will be shot in Honduras, murdered. It is dangerous. And we were there, and but what do you do? You can't just sit at home. I think about how that a lot of times people will decide whether they'll go on this mission trip or not go on this mission trip, all based on the dangers. Listen, God is, if the jig is up, hey, maybe you better stay home. But if he calls you to do something, you've got to be really look at things and seriously realize God can go with you and God can help you. A lot of missionaries live in the shadow of volcanoes that have already been overdue for erupting. We have two volcanoes in Ecuador, and friends of ours live in sight, two different volcanoes. And every day they spew out their dust, and it covers their cars, and they have to go and wipe off the dust off of their cars. I'm sure that's good for respiration, you know, for your breathing and everything, but it's but the beautiful mountains. Our daughter and her husband live in Arusha, Tanzania, and there they have a mountain called Mount Meru. M-E-R-U. And Mount Meru, 70 miles from Mount Kilimanjaro, which is also a volcano, incidentally. And you can see that out of our grandson's bedroom, Mount Kilimanjaro. But that's right there in Tanzania, Kenya. And so they were right there at Mount Meru, which it erupted in 1910. And they said it is to erupt again in 2010. They said all the seismic, all the different tests have said it will erupt. And they live just out of town. Ground Zero is where all the people live in the city of Arusha. And so that mountain is already 4 years overdue. Think Dante's Peak. And it's a difficult situation sometimes like this. But God says go, you go. And granted, they are fortunately able to live just outside of town. So at this point, they're not in immediate danger if that thing were to go. But it is something to think about. Do you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but some of the coffee is raised in the most dangerous places on the face of the earth. And so if I watched a program a while back that took us to Madagascar, and it says, if you want to talk about theft and dangerous situations, go to some of these places where coffee is raised. And so anyway, it was taking us on a bit of a journey around the world to just to see those things. And yet the Lord can be with us. It's about the gospel. It's not about your safety. It's not about your comfort zone. It's about whether or not you are able to find obedience in your heart in the midst of seeing a world that is dying and without Christ. God wants us to be sensitive to His Spirit. God will not call everyone here to go and to do mission work. And but that's where it's very important for you to stand up and stand strong, to pray, to believe God for those who do go, and to trust that the Lord will give them everything they need, the tools they need, the money they need, the opportunities, the favor, the open doors that they need, whatever that they are facing. Another bit of trivia. Did you know that if you get diarrhea often enough, you will never have to have a colonoscopy? I just thought that was interesting after a lifetime of experience. I thought it's interesting how that it does cleanse the walls of your colon. Okay. I was reading a report this morning of someone in the newspaper, and they had a serious problem with their colon, and I said, they are not missionaries. Oh, well. Christy asked me one day while we were sitting in a taxi in Kenya, Ron, why do we drive a Volvo at home, which we did at that time? I said, because I think they're supposed to be one of the safest cars in the world. And she said, and she looked down between her feet, could see the ground in that taxi. She said, I just was wondering. So just before 9/11, we were invited by some friends to go with them to Japan. And as we were about to go to we were thinking seriously about it, and then I felt a nudge in my spirit to hesitate not to go, that the timing was wrong, and we were not to go with them on this trip to Japan. And they actually flew out to Japan on the morning of 9/11. And that morning, we had been 2 days already in Venezuela. We felt like we were to go to Venezuela, so we went to Venezuela, and we were there about to begin on the morning of 9/11. To September 11th of 2001, we were to begin a conference there. And as we were standing there at a military base hotel in Barquisimeto, Venezuela, we stood and watched the downing of the towers with the planes going in there. And I thought, well, you know, we didn't know anything about our friends, what had happened with regard to them. But here we were there, safe in Venezuela. And as we were there, when we left, we had great time. The whole time we were scheduled already to be there. And our scheduled flight was the first to return to America, was the first flight allowed back into the United States. And so we flew back in right on schedule, had a seat already booked, didn't have to stand in line with a bunch of other people who had been canceled for a week. We were able to just fly back in easily, right on schedule. And I thought it was good to be able to hear that still small voice of the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, I am the voice that is behind you that says to you, go to the right or go to the left. We need to sign up for that voice to be listened to. We need to listen to what God says. Our friends, as good as it would have been to go to Japan, they never made it to Japan that time. They left San Antonio. They flew to Oakland, but they found themselves downed. Dick Cheney had ordered all planes are out of the air, and every plane was grounded in the country. And so they found themselves on the ground in Denver. 3 days later, just rented a car and drove back to San Antonio. Never did at that time make it to Japan. And I thought, thank the Lord that we were able to listen to the voice of the Lord. We were able to continue our work without a hesitation, but in the midst of a very difficult time. And how many of you remember where you were on 9/11? And it's a difficult thing. South Africa, just after 9/11, about 2 weeks later, there was in Bloemfontein, South Africa, a big conference of the New Covenant Ministries. Dudley Daniels was the head of that fellowship, and he was hosting this big conference there in South Africa in 2001, September. And two of the speakers were Americans who were scheduled to come over and to speak. They canceled because of concerns over danger of flying. And Dudley Daniels got up and made this statement. I guess the Americans are just going to have to decide if they're called to the nations. Maybe he shouldn't have said such a thing in the world of tenderness. But the reality is, we're still living in perilous times. And we don't know what the future is. And we do have to decide, did God call us to the nations? I believe God has called us to the nations. Certainly, those of you who are given assignments, those of you who are called by the Lord, those of you whom He says to you, I want you to go. Don't hesitate. If the Holy Spirit says go, go. Don't worry about yourself. Don't worry about your safety. If God is with you, who can be against you? And as one translation of that scripture says, if God be with you, what does it matter who's against you? God can be with you. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have a friend. She's 97 years of age now. She's in a nursing home. Her memory's not so good these days, but Alvina Miller, Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, when a little Italian redheaded, we were just with her son, who pastors in Rio Rico, Arizona. We were with him 2 weeks ago. And Alvina Miller, when she was a missionary in Cuba, and the year was about 1957, and Fidel Castro, the freedom fighter, head of that movement, sent a letter to all the churches, rice for the freedom fighters. She sent him back a scathing letter that says, you are not a freedom fighter, you're a communist. Well, this little short Italian lady went toe-to-toe with Fidel Castro. Of course, they blew up a building 2 weeks later as she was making a broadcast, and she was in that building, and there was an outer shell of a building, and they blew the big building up, but she was safe inside the little building. They couldn't get out without help, but it was fascinating how God caused this little Italian lady to be like Deborah, to be willing to stand up and call the big dogs out for who they were. And that is the true spirit of what God wants in us. He wants you to be able to live on the edge. If He calls you to live on the edge, don't be afraid to live on the edge. You only live one time. Enjoy it. Go for it with everything you've got. Christy and I just got back from 3 months where we were traveling. We spent part of our time in Europe and part of our time in Africa, three different countries of Africa. And as we were there, we had dinner with our daughter and her family on the 6th of July, which was our last day in Africa, and then the 7th we were flying. And on the 6th we had lunch at a very nice Chinese restaurant there in the shadow of Mount Meru. And as we had this lunch, on Monday, as we were flying out, someone bombed that restaurant. And 8 people were injured very badly. One man lost his leg, but we were safe. We were there the day before. God was with us. So the jig is not up yet. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say the jig's not up yet. Ah, boy, you guys are doing good. Okay, so I remember when the U.S. Embassy was blown up in Nairobi in 1998, and 224 people were killed, and 12 Americans among them, and 4,650 people were wounded. We were 8 blocks away from the U.S. Embassy. And so, but we were not in front of the U.S. Embassy. A lot of times when we were delivering the van that we had used the day before, and we would have pulled up, we would have deposited the van, then we'd have driven by the U.S. Embassy because it is something to see. And as we, they've got a new one now. That one's totally gone, but we were there. We would have driven by, but we chose not to drive away because just 10 minutes before the explosion, we were 2 blocks away. And now, as the it came to 10:30 on that morning, we had turned the van, the vehicle we were riding in, away, and we were driving away from it, so we were about 8 blocks away from that embassy. Safe as if we were on Paradise Island, because God was with us. And as that happened, I think about how we've been in so many different situations, but God has been with us all the way. And I am excited because I am able to see how God is faithful, and God will do everything is necessary in order to help us. Amen? When we flew out of Mount Kilimanjaro Airport on the 7th of July, just a few weeks ago, when we flew out, there were Australianders with us, friends we'd made there, Andrew Pucknell and his wife and 3 children. And as we were flying out of there, they have 4 children. And as we were flying out of there, we flew together to Doha, Qatar, or some people say Qatar, but the airlines called it Qatar. As we flew to Qatar, Andrew, we'd become friends on the ground and back at the ministry we were connected with there. And now as we were headed for Qatar, all was well and God was with us. And we flew back to the States and they flew to the UK to spend some time with their family, then to get on the plane and fly to Amsterdam, across Ukraine to Malaysia, and then home to Australia. They were scheduled on the morning of that Thursday on MH17 to fly across Ukraine, but they decided, you know what? I think we're going to stay a few days extra in the UK with our family, and we're going to leave on Monday. Are you with me? We still have our friends. They just moved their schedule. There's a voice behind you that tells you go to the right hand or go to the left. Listen to the warnings of the Holy Spirit, because He can be with you. We had a friend who was on the morning that the Nairobi embassy was bombed. We had a friend who got on a taxi there in Lamuru, Kenya, to ride the distance to go to the U.S. embassy. And she was scheduled to be there at 9 o'clock. She would have been standing in line near the place where this bomb went off and killed all those people. And yet she heard a voice. The Lord said to her, on her way, already aboard the taxi, get off of this taxi at the next stop. Get on the next taxi. Go home. Go to your prayer room and spend the day in prayer. She decided to obey. And she, you know, it's hard to get an embassy appointment. She went right back to her home, and she got down on her knees, and they had to come tap her on the shoulder late that morning and say, hey, did you know the U.S. embassy was bombed? And she said, oh. Well, really, I think I'm where I'm supposed to be. Because God was with her. Can you say amen? Amen. We are about to move to Cork, Ireland. And when we took this 3-month trip, and I shared just a little bit with Mike and Cheryl, but when we took the 3-month trip to go to Europe and Africa, and one of the things we felt was that we were to go to Ireland. We had no real reason. It's kind of that voice thing behind us. We had no real reason why we should go to Ireland, but we felt we were to take 2 weeks, rent a car, and drive the country. Just drive all over the country and see what God would do. And we had been there two other occasions when we lived in London, but we'd never spent any time there. We had one friend, a Zimbabwean pastor in Dublin, but we didn't know anybody else. And so we were going to go there for 2 weeks and drive all over the country. Just before we did that, as we'd already set it into our schedule, but we're just going to land, go to Avis, rent a car, and drive, and nobody would know we were there, except if God opens the door. Well, we went to a friend of ours, Mike Heron, had invited us to come and meet with 24 leaders from all over Europe in Mallorca, off the coast of Spain, in this island, and to meet there for 3 days and to just visit. It's a conference, but it's not going to have speakers. We're just going to all sit down and talk about what does God want to do for Europe? What is in the mind of the Holy Spirit for Europe? And so as we did this, God brought us into connection with Catholics from Italy, with Catholics from Ireland, and with people from an Anglican pastor, from the archdeacon, from the Belfast, from a church there, an Anglican church. All these people were Spirit-filled. Everybody who was in this meeting was Spirit-filled. We had them from Finland. We had from Russia. We had different countries represented. But as we all gathered there, it was fascinating because you don't just walk into opportunities where you just go into a situation where you've got these movers and shakers, and you're sitting there like a lion in a Daniel's den, and you're trying to figure out what does God want to do here. When first we looked around, and there was a pastor there we knew and his wife, and then we knew our host, Mike and Marcia Heron, but we didn't know anybody else. And as we sat there, 24 people, we began to realize, as we began to talk to each one from all these different countries, some of which we'd never been to, we had 4 to 6 personal mutual friends with every single person. Already, God had built a network. God's into networking, let me tell you that. And so as we sat there and talked, especially the Irish, God began to open the door. With the Catholics, one of them, had an apartment right beside of Pope John Paul VI in the Vatican. And then you had all these guys. It was fascinating. Resulting from that has been a meeting with Pope Francis, where he came to a Pentecostal church of one of my friends, Giovanni, and he called him up and he said, "I'm coming to your church." And he said, "But I'm going to check with my speakers, with my handlers first, the schedulers." And they said, "You can't go to that town to go to that Pentecostal church. You can't go there until you meet with your parishioners." He said, "Okay." So they set up a meeting, 2 weeks advance notice, and 200,000 people showed up in a field that they could meet with Pope Francis. He called his friend. He said, "Giovanni, I'm coming back in 2 days. I'm going back to Rome. Then I'm coming back. I want you to have..." And they had 400 people in his church. And they met, and it was a Pentecostal service. And Pope Francis was clapping his hands, and his Argentina Latin was coming out, and it was fascinating. And they gave us a report of the whole thing. And we had so many friends in that meeting, so I'm 1 degree away from the Pope right now. 1 degree of separation. But these guys from Ireland, as we began to talk, one of them was a businessman, and he said, "Listen," he's a businessman in Dublin, but he is also the chairman of the Assemblies of God, and he's also the chairman of the Evangelical Alliance, and he's also on the board of Wycliffe Mission, Wycliffe Bible Translators. And this guy said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You come into Ireland, I'm going to set you a schedule, and every day I want you to meet with a different pastor, and I'll set it up everything in advance. I'll go the full way in advance." And so he said, "You sit down with a different pastor every day. You share your heart, they share theirs." And he said, "We'll then see what God will do." Well, what God did is he caused them to actually open a door for us, and they invited us, would we come? And so we've chosen a period of time we're going to go as a test period. And then if all goes well in that test period, then we will stay and remain. He would not say to us, go to the Protestant side, go to Northern Ireland, where it's half Protestant, half Catholic. He sent us to the Catholic side. Now, I'm a Pentecostal boy. I haven't had a whole lot of experience with the Catholics, but I want to tell you something. God is opening doors. One of my mentors was a man by the name of David Du Plessis from South Africa. And David Du Plessis, Mr. Pentecost, said to me, when I asked him, what is the one thing I need in order to move to South Africa, that nation with apartheid and the struggles they're having at that time, I said, what do I need? And he said, what you need is to get the war out of your spirit. If you have any war in your spirit, lose it. Well, that man became quite influential, and I thank God for those types of influences in my life. But I want you to know that God has a plan, and we would like for you to pray for us. We don't have any idea what He wants to do. We do have a strategy. We have a posture we're going in to. I'll be going in to write and to mentor. Two Bible schools, as a result of our visit, have already been promised that they're starting within the year. And so one of them in Cork, Ireland, and the other one in Northern Ireland. And so those are things we look forward to. We believe God is going to do something with those Bible schools. One of the things you need to pray for. Is there anyone here with a Catholic background? Would you raise your hand? Okay. I want to say it this way. When we sat down with these leaders, they said to us, 10 years ago, Ireland was a nation, a Catholic nation, with 90% of the population attending Mass every Sunday. But because of inequities that have been done by the leadership of the Catholic Church, they said, just over 30% go to Mass every week today. I said, you're in trouble. They said, yes. What we need is spiritual fathers to speak into the lives of the leadership of this country. People who don't mind working with Catholics, people who don't mind working with Pentecostals. We need, across the board, God to open the hearts of that nation. We've already seen that type of thing happen in the rest of Europe. Ireland, we found to be a different sort of a place. You never saw so many shades of green. It's a beautiful place. Rains a lot, but I can handle that. We lived in London. But Ireland is a place that has had a strong commitment to a Christian value system. We're not talking about a difference between Catholic or Protestant. It's had a strong commitment to Christianity. And yet today, it seems to be at a possible loss. 10 more years could see total apostasy if they don't get something turned around in the nation of Ireland. I believe God can send an absolute revival. It can be the Belfast type of revival. I believe what God did in Belfast, some of the things that happened there, can come. But I don't think that we need to think in terms of the war between the Protestant and the Catholic. They don't have that so much in Ireland itself. But what we do need to pray is that God will revive and restore a spirit of revival in that nation to touch people's lives so that they will be different, so that their hearts will be changed, and so that the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will become strong in them. Perhaps as I've spoken today, God has spoken to your heart about something, about your own life, about living on the edge, about your willingness to hazard your life for the gospel's sake, about your willingness during perhaps even a time in a chapter in your life when you could choose to do other things, but you could also choose to be a servant to the house of God and do something for the kingdom of God. Maybe God's speaking to your heart some way this morning. Could you stand to your feet, everyone? I'd like to ask the prayer leaders to come. Maybe no one will come up to pray with you, but maybe someone would like to ask you to join with them. I remember when Christy and I were sitting in a service in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, a few years ago. We were visiting a conference, and I turned to Christy and I said, Christy, or she said to me, I'm ready to go when you are. And already God had been dealing with me to move to South Africa, but I hadn't said anything. I was waiting for God to deal with her, and she turns to me and she said, I'm ready to go when you are. Well, the fact was, it was 9 o'clock. The speaker was just ready to close the service. We were tired. We'd been driving all day. The kids were exhausted. And I know the natural thing for Christy to say would be, I'm ready to go to bed when you... Let's go home. We have a fifth wheel. Let's go back out there. Don't fiddle around and talk to everybody. It's the first night of the conference. We'll visit with everybody later. That's what I could have thought she was saying. But I turned to her and I said, what do you mean you're ready to go when I am? She said, I'm ready to move to South Africa when you are. Maybe God deals with someone here today. And maybe you're hearing a voice that says go to the right or go to the left. Some of us want to just keep going straight forward because it's comfortable. But God may have a different plan for your life. I don't know what He wants you to do. I don't know who He wants you to become. I don't know what He wants to say in your life. Perhaps God's dealing with you in some way. Or you've got a family member that you know God's dealing with. But you'd like to just come and stand with these. And could we have lead us in a song? Feel free to come. I'm finished. But I just want to give you that opportunity. If you want to come up here and have someone just believe with you about anything you want to have them pray with you about. They've come once. This is extra. This is the linyop, I think they call it. This is the extra serving. If you need God to touch your life in some way, please feel free to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.